It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. It's the Bubba Show, the Bubba Train, and well, I don't know. I guess the markets are just taking the days off. Although we've seen some big moves the last couple of days, there really have been done on light volume, light volatility. Friday sell-off was on volume, but not normal volume, not volume we would expect to see in a on a jobs Friday with unemployment numbers and you know, with a big move. And then of course Monday's big rally up was done on half of the volume of Friday, and then Tuesday's sell-off was met with the same volume as Friday. But there's one key ingredient, you know, when you bake a cake, when you make something, there's always a key ingredient, and the missing ingredient is volatility. Where is the volatility? I guess we have to start checking the back of the milk cartons to find where we're going to get that volatility, because it certainly isn't in the market. And I think one of the things you have to look at and you have to think about here is, so if there's no volatility, will this market have any follow through to the downside? Is this the top? Is it going to sell off? And, you know, I don't really know. It's really hard to grasp if this is really the end. I would not expect it to go out with a whimper. So although I am bearish and I would think that we're going to see some major correction coming, I would not think that this is the last big up move. I would expect to see here in the next couple of days a rip your face off monster rally, and that would indicate to me that maybe the top is in. But the dip buyers don't seem to be as anxious to step in here and buy. The sellers don't seem like they want to be too aggressive. And one of the things you look at when we talk about the volatility index, okay, the VIX, when that is not propelling, going up quickly, when you're seeing no acceleration in that index, what that's telling you, or what that should be telling you, is that the put buyers have not come into the market yet. So absence of put buyers, or guys that, you know, want to get short the market, people that are looking to sell the market, people that are panicking to either try to cover up some of their open positions, hedge out, you know, buy some puts, whatever, they're not buying. So what you're really seeing is more of a market that has sold off. And I would guess, my opinion would be that the sell-off has been based on more profit-taking than anything else. I don't think that we're seeing a major decline that is being based on fear. I don't see the overall reason that we're going to all of a sudden panic and start to sell off. Now, that could change. Look, markets, as the Badger says, markets don't change or don't send you a telegram, and they certainly don't announce what their next intention is. But certainly based on the information that we have, certainly based on the information at hand, we have to assume that we're just not ready to see a market break. Okay? You know, because the 300 points is not, you know, again, we all get consumed by the number 300. Oh my God, 300. But remember, it's a 18,000 point index. So what's the big deal? I mean, it's like $3 in a $180 stock. I mean, those things do that, you know, the wind blows funny and they move $3. So, you know, I'm not telling you that it isn't the top. And again, you know, I've been saying that we're going to have a major move. So I'm not trying to say that we're not. I just don't know if this is the time. But one of the things that you all need to remember when doing this and when trading or investing is you never want to chase down or chase up a market. It's very important to understand what I'm talking about when I say chasing. Chasing is a method of when you know, the markets start to sell off and you start to sell down, and we call it selling into the hole. Because even if the sell-off is going to hold, typically you're going to get a rally to sell at a better price. You know, the important things of being in this industry and in this business is trying to wait for price. You know, we all have some sort of business that we're involved with. We all do, you know, many business things. We're entrepreneurs, you know, and you don't go out and just overpay for a price. I mean, you know, if you have a restaurant and you have to serve some food, you at some point may have to chase the market to get paid, you know, to get some goods in. But generally, you're shopping for the best price. You're shopping for where you can find the most benefit. And the stock market should be no different. I mean, think of the stock market as your shopping cart. You think of it as a grocery store. When you go in there, you know, you go to the grocery store saying, well, oh, where can I pay the most amount for the goods and services that I'm purchasing? Do you go in and say, you know, I want to overpay? No, you don't. And that's, you know, what we're seeing. And this is important to you when you're trading and investing, is to use diligence, due diligence. That comes back from the old days, you know, when you had a lot of floor brokers, okay, and you gave them the due diligence on what they call the not held order, and you gave them the diligence to say, okay, use your judgment. So, you know, using your judgment is not trying to overpay. It is not trying to, you know, chase a market. Sometimes, you know, you're better off without. You know, we've all been in situations, whether, you know, it's been in a card game where you chased a hand down, or you've been, you know, out dating and you chase somebody. You know, chasing never ends up to be a profitable idea. Now, again, there'll always be the exception to the rule. There will always be the time. But when it's all said and done, chasing is not the answer. Patience and discipline are the answers. And when you take that tack and you say, okay, that's what I want to do, you now have taken the first step to putting yourself in a more profitable position. Because we have to account for variable change. We have to account for what may happen next and what is the probability of this happening next without getting emotional. You know, emotions are great when you're in love. Emotions are great when you're cheering. But when you're trading and you're making financial decisions, emotions are never good. You are so much better off if you can look with a clear eye, a clear picture, and say, okay, I can see the mathematics of this. And again, it's not complicated math. It's like saying, oh, I see that it's extending way too far. The likelihood is that it will come back the other way and give me a better opportunity to get in. And that is always the case here on the Bubba Show. In all of my training and everything that I do, I try to always keep my emotions down without getting too excited. Okay. It's very important to understand that you can't, put yourself in a position to get overwhelmed, overexcited, or overdone. In the meantime, keep our guys Think or Swim in mind. Built by traders for traders, by far the best trading platform for you and for what you're going to do. Plus, Bubba gets a little break there and can help you out. So if you have any questions, you want to get hooked up, email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll hook you up with Think or Swim. In the meantime, check out the site. We've got a lot of additional new writers writing daily market commentary, giving you great information. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun.
Traders, tired of looking at different sources for all the information you need? Guess what? Thinkorswim has all the information you need right at your fingertips on their platform that allows you, the trader, to find out all the information you want, whether it's moving averages, whether it's Fibonacci's, whatever it is that you're looking for, Thinkorswim has it on their platform. And they make it so easy to switch back and forth between screens to allow you to find the information that you're looking for that fits your style of trade. So what I suggest you do is do what Bubba does and use Thinkorswim. All you have to do is go to thebubbashow.org, click on that Thinkorswim link, and you will be set up in minutes to at least start evaluating and paper trading on their platform where you're getting your account set up and getting your funds transferred. But Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, the absolute best in the industry, the choice of Bubba and the Badger here on The Bubba Show. Make sure you check them out. Thinkorswim. Advisors and investors, do you want to stay whole through the next crash? Do you want to find some better long-term strategies to invest in? Are you looking for a better way to protect the portfolio? Or do you want to stay stuck benchmark to that S&P, which really has no real value? I'm telling you right now that if you check out my friends at Circle Squared Alts, ALTS.com, and my man Jeff Sika, go to his website, check it out. You will find some alternative strategies that will help you not only protect your own portfolio, but if you're an advisor, help you protect the portfolio of those that invest with you. It's something that is extremely important, especially as we know how markets do fluctuate. And at some point, we are going to have another market sell-off. I recommend to you now that you go to CircleSquaredAlts.com or email me at Bubba@TheBubbaShow.org and check it out. My man Jeff Sika, Bubba@TheBubbaShow.org, check it out. Bubba Show listeners, Bubba here. You know, as the markets continue to move higher, we often talk about protection strategies. We worry about what will happen next. I did a webinar a couple of weeks ago about how to protect your long-term portfolio using options. And as my gift to you, I want to offer that to you at no charge. I want to send you the link that will take you through step-by-step of different strategies that we use on how to protect a long-term portfolio to lock in your gains and to continue to benefit if the markets do continue to go higher. All you need to do to get a hold of that webinar is email me at Bubba@TheBubbaShow.org, and I will send you out a link and where you can watch it. There is no cost to you. This is something that I want to make sure that my Bubba Show listeners understand how to hedge and how to protect the portfolio by using options. So email me now at Bubba@TheBubbaShow.org, Bubba@TheBubbaShow.org right now, and I'll send it to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as always, I get the best guests, and none better than my man now, a guy who won an Emmy, is the jack of all trades for Fox Business, Adam Shapiro. Welcome aboard, man.
Hey, buddy. Thank you for having me.
It's great. Listen, I love having you on. I love when I get on the panel with you. Once in a while, I get lucky enough to be on the panel with you, and we get to have some. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree, but that's right. The beauty of markets trading in the world. And you've got a pretty diverse background, and actually one time, I didn't know you when you were here, but a neighbor of mine down in here in the city of Chicago. But, you know, I think the first thing I really want to ask you is you do a lot. I mean, you're kind of the jack of all trades. You understand news, business, the whole thing. Do you have
fortunate. I've been given a lot of experience. The best experience of my life is riding the 151 for the overnight shift at the Fox affiliate in Chicago.
The 151, wow. That's
not the best experience of my life, trust me. You see a lot of things at 2 a.m. in the morning you don't want to see.
Especially in Chicago or New York. So is there any? Do you have a preference? Is there something you particularly love to cover better than others?
Cars. I am a nut about cars. The Chicago Car Show, I mean, that show is amazing. The Pebble Beach, the Concours of the antique cars is amazing. My granddad in Portland, Maine, had a junkyard, and I grew up with this incredible desire to do anything with cars. Unfortunately, I was cursed with the inability to do anything with cars because I'm a horrible mechanic. I've restored two cars, and that is generous. I have a friend who's an excellent mechanic when I used to live in Ohio, and we restored some cars. Mostly, I would break things. He would then fix what I tried to fix. I used to restore Studebakers, and I set one on fire twice. So that tells you about what I'm up to. But I go nuts for cars, old, new, all of it.
That's cool. That's great. And you know, it's funny. And since you brought up cars, you know, there's a lot of talk in the world right now. And you know, we've seen, you know, car sales improve. And you know, I'm not a big fan of the overall economy. I still don't think it's growing. I think that it's a bunch of hogwash and hooey. But all that being said, it looks potentially like the next subprime lending problem might come out of the automobile sector.
Yep.
What are you seeing? What are you thinking?
Well, you know, I'm concerned about any debt that people carry that they can't service. You know, the artificially low interest rates that we've had were designed to get people to borrow, and were designed to get businesses or at least banks to lend. So on one hand, it's good. I mean, the average age of a car on the road is 11 years, and that's historically high, and people need to replace cars. On the other hand, there are dealers out there who will roll over your previous debt, refinance it with the new debt when you have no capable way of paying for it, and put you into a new vehicle, even a used vehicle. And that can be a problem. You got to crawl out from the debt monster at some point. There's certain debt that is, you know, as they teach you, is always good to have, a mortgage, and we can argue another time whether that's good debt or not. But there are some long-term debts you should have. But car debt is really, honestly, it's not good. Buy the used car, get the cheap car, get something that's reliable, and call it a day. But a lot of people have not done that. So, you know, should some of these people who were rolled into these loans not be able to make them, then the shoe falls, and then the exact same thing that happened with real estate. These loans have been sold and packaged into deals that have been sold as bonds, and you got to know where those bonds are and were they rated appropriately. One would hope so, since the rating agencies haven't essentially been called to task for what they did during the mortgage meltdown. So that's my concern.
I mean, my concern as well. And of course, you know, we are pretty much a by-the-month society, so the dealers come out with those 0% financing, which the hidden cost is really 6 to 8%.
Yep,
loan. And of course, they're borrowing the money still at nothing. So good deal for them. Not such a good deal for the consumer. And you mentioned, you know, you're bringing right into my wheelhouse, the CDOs, or the collateralized debts, and they formed them in.
Now, Now
Goldman Sachs is once again.
The abacus deal.
I tell you, see, that's why you're the guy. See, that's why I come to the smartest people in the room that understand this. So Goldman, they're starting to put together some CDOs again as well. What's your opinion? If you know, what do you think? And do you think it's a good idea?
I do think that collateralized debt obligations, that's the fancy name. People who use all the fancy names and the abbreviations and don't explain them don't know what they're talking about. But essentially, a CDO is a way to spread the risk. Meaning, you know, if I'm a bank and I hold that auto loan we were just talking about, I've got the risk. But if I can take 100 of those auto loans, and I know that 10% of them perhaps are going to go bad, but 90% are going to get paid. I can take that 90%. I can calculate what those payments will be over, say, 4 years. I can then create a new asset. We'll call it a bond. And I can sell that to somebody. But I have to be honest with them. What I say is, this bond, which represents 100 loans with payments over the next 4 years that will generate this kind of income, 10% of those will fail, but you're still going to make money. So do you want to buy that? What's it worth to you? Because you're going to have a stream of money coming to you. So the bank can minimize its risk in holding the loan by packaging it and selling it. That's what a collateralized debt obligation is. The problem is if the bank lies to you and says, oh, these loans, 100%, they're terrific, they're great, you're going to make a bundle, knowing that 90% will fail and only 10% will get paid. That's what happened in 2000, well, from about 2003 to 2008.
Now, I mean, I look at it's collateralized debt in those things now. You know, I look at it with a different eye because I think that what they did during the mortgage bubble, which you're referring to, is I'm not going to accuse anybody of intentionally putting together bad debts and bad roles, but obviously, as it turned out, they were not very good. And I always worry about the average guy on the street who sometimes gets involved in some of these deals that, you know, let's say a company A, and we won't name any companies, but company A has got a lot of bad loan, not a lot of bad things on their balance sheet, and they're trying to package them together, okay? And they put these into one of these CDOs, and they market it out, and they sell it, and, you know, if it comes back, then they're great, and if not, then they collapse, and, of course, the guy who's not really that savvy that somehow gets sucked into these once in a while ends up holding the bag once again. That's always my concern.
You just described the abacus deal at Goldman Sachs, but we're not going to name any banks. Right?
Okay. Oh, gee, no, of course, you know I would name it because I'm not, you know me, I like to name everybody. So I'm worried about that. You know, I look at a market, I see where we're at, and of course I've been bearish for a while, and I don't hide from it. You know, I come on air and I say that I'm bearish. I said in my show that I'm bearish,
right.
So I'm not saying I haven't changed my opinion. I still think we're in a bubble, but I start to see some of these defensive strategies that Goldman or Citigroup makes. You know, for example, when Citigroup made the call for $20 oil,
right.
I'm not saying it can't go to 20, but I thought that was a pretty irresponsible call, and to me, it
was with you.
I thought they were short oil and hoping that they could get some selling so they could get out. That's right. My opinion. Now, again, I'm not asking you for your opinion. I don't want you to put yourself out, but that's what I think. And I worry about these things because we're in very treacherous times here in the investing world. We have forced a lot of average Americans that really don't want to be in the equity market to be in the equity market. We have forced a lot of people to make investments they would not normally want to make because most people prefer, especially older Americans, prefer the fixed income market, which there is no fixed income market right now. So I'm concerned that some of us might be getting the wool pulled over our eyes a little bit. What's your thoughts?
I think people are having, in some cases, are capable of having the wool pulled over their eyes. Here's the problem with analysts. I rely on the people, whether it be at Citi or at some of the investment firms, but they're only as good as their prediction until they change it. And they change them all the time. So, you know, first you have to look at a track record. Have they been reputable? Have they been trustworthy? And so I remember when Citi made that call on oil going so far down. And by the way, the Saudis are trying to do that. They are trying to drive down the price of oil to keep us from fracking and producing oil as well. But it seemed really okay. What was the criteria? And the criteria was that we're going to have a global slowdown, so demand just isn't going to be there. I agreed with everything you've just said about Citi's call on oil up until last week, something that's not getting a lot of attention that scared me. And what scared me was that there's a tremendous amount of oil on the market already in storage, and we keep producing oil, and we're running out of storage space. When we finally get the confluence of no more storage space and we're still producing, it could very well drive the price of oil down. It's at $47 right now, and it could go further down. I'm not ready. I would never make a call the way Citi does, or even a call that would say oil is going to go up. But that was troubling to me when I read that last week. Again, though, you have to take all of these analysts when we report them with a grain of salt, because they get to change their mind. They'll say for a year, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And then a year later, they say, oh, by the way, now it's going to be this. And we just keep going forward.
We are hanging with our friend Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News, the man who does it all. You catch him on all of the shows. He's always on the panel. I love when I get to be on with him because we do have sometimes the same, sometimes differing opinions, but he's always got good factual information and a solid basis for opinion. And I think it's important for you to listen to what he said here about listening to analyst calls and things like that. It's up to you to do your due diligence. It's up to you to make sure that you're getting everything your way, because at the end of the day, it's our own personal responsibility. So this is the Bubba Show. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Adam, but make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We've got a lot of great articles on there, and we are posting new stuff all the time, and I guarantee you a lot of the stuff we put there will beat the other media out there. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be back right after the break with more from Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News. Hey, Bubba Show listeners, if you checked out the Sunday night call yet, if you haven't, you're making a huge mistake, and Bubba's going to tell you why. Each and every Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Badger and me break down trades for the week. We watch them, we manage them, we recommend them, we help you trade them, we help you become more successful. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will send you a link to give you a one-month free trial and where you can check out 4 Sundays of what we're doing on the Sunday night call and decide if it's really for you. What you need to do is you need to email me right now at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I want to hook you up. I want you to be a part of my team. I want you to be better, and I want 2015 to be better than any year you've ever had. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll send you a link and hook you up for a free month of Sunday night calls. What's up, Bubba Show listeners? Bubba here. You know, I've always thought of ways to better educate and better help the individual trader and investor, as well as some of the brokers out there. But one of the things I always found out was the lack of real good, solid information. You know, are you tired of the fear ads? Are you tired about the fear mongers grabbing out to you and telling you how the world is coming to an end? We all know that the market has had a dramatic run here, and at some point it's going to sell off and there's going to be a big correction, and we're going to have another bear market at some point. Does that mean you should pull your investing out? Does that mean you should change things? Well, Bubba has a couple of strategies to offer you, and we do talk about options protection for a long-term portfolio and how to keep you in the game. But one of the things that we do have coming out in the year 2015 is I have assembled a team of experts that are going to put together a monthly newsletter for everybody that will come out the first of every month talking about the overall market conditions, whether you talk about commodities, alternative investments, equities, oil, everything that you can imagine that you can be involved in. And we are going to do this each and every month. We've got the top guys in the business, Keith Bliss, Scott Chalady, myself, the Badger. We're all going to be writing and contributing to this particular newsletter. And this is something that will be each and every month. The first of the month will be delivered to you through email. We're going to be working on this. The subscription fee for this is $99 a year. You will get 12 issues loaded with strategies, webinars. You'll be invited to webinars. It will be the answer to all of your investing needs. All you need to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want to be part of that letter. I want to be ahead of everybody else, because you will be there if you do so. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org right now, and we'll get you hooked up. Bubba Show listeners, Bubba here. You know, as the markets continue to move higher, we often talk about protection strategies. We worry about what will happen next. I did a webinar a couple of weeks ago about how to protect your long-term portfolio using options. And as my gift to you, I want to offer that to you at no charge. I want to send you the link that will take you through step-by-step of different strategies that we use on how to protect a long-term portfolio, to lock in your gains, and to continue to benefit if the markets do continue to go higher. All you need to do to get a hold of that webinar is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I will send you out a link and where you can watch it. There is no cost to you. This is something that I want to make sure that my Bubba Show listeners understand how to hedge and how to protect the portfolio by using options. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org, bubba@thebubbashow.org right now, and I'll send it to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News, the man who does it all. On top of it all, let's get back to Adam right now. And that's my problem. You know, analysts typically, they upgrade at the top and they downgrade at the bottom. And I'm always worried about things like that. But when I look at the bigger picture, and now here's my theory. I'd like to get your opinion, please. I look across the commodity space right now, you know, gold, oil, grains, the whole business. I know you've been on the farm. You've been everywhere. You do everything for everybody, so you understand them all.
From Madoff to cars.
Exactly. And they have done a tremendous job, in my opinion, of actually holding up pretty well based on the strength of the U.S. dollar. I mean, typically, you know, these are benchmarked against dollars. And basically, the markets have held up remarkably well based on what's going on with the U.S. dollar. And I think that they've taken the best shot, which means that, you know, they could go lower, but I think there's a better chance that they go higher from here. What do you think?
You think what goes higher?
The commodity space in general. I think that we've seen the low.
Okay. Well, it depends which commodity you're talking about. I don't believe the Chinese growth figures, and the Chinese just lowered their expectations for growth of 7%, which means, well, copper's not going to be growing up. I do think that there will always be demand. The world is hungry. The world needs food, and there's huge droughts taking place in South America that are going to have a direct effect on their ability to grow crops that they also sell and compete with our farmers to the rest of the world. So I think food, you know, if you're looking at something like rice or soybean, that I would suspect might be going up. But other commodities, you know, copper, I'm not sure it's going to be going up. Iron and tin, I don't know how much demand there is if the global economy is slowing down.
Okay. Now, I know you're real busy, so I don't want to overcompensate for your time. Do you have time for a couple more minutes? Or do you need
I do. Help? I do. Okay. This is what we do, and it's I appreciate your letting us talk about these things, because I'll listen to people on different networks and analysts say, this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be doing. We had a guy on air yesterday, and Cheryl Cassone challenged him. He's saying, you need to short this. And Cheryl said, most of the people watching us right now are in 401ks and IRAs and don't have the ability to short something, because our time horizons are much greater than 6 months. So, you know, that kind of, it was great when she did that. And I do tend to be Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm worried about a correction on the stock market, because what goes up does have to come down. But you have to take everything you hear, whether it's from me or from analysts, with a grain of salt, and then use your real-world experience. When we talk about oil prices are down and gas prices should be going down, but you're paying more, don't discount what you experience in the real world. And I had a discussion with someone this morning on another radio station. Gas prices going up because of a strike. There's a strike that's taking place that could spread to other refineries, but also they're going to their winter blends. And they also like to gouge us when we go into the spring and summer driving season.
And I couldn't have said that better myself. And you brought up some real good points, so let's go with number one.
Okay.
I say the United States is the biggest corporation in the world. Agree or disagree?
Can I change that slightly?
Yes, you can.
I do believe the United States is the greatest country in the world. And if you say corporation in a positive tone, then I agree with you. I think the United States, when everyone counts us out, when they say they've written us off, think of Apple right before Steve Jobs returned. And look at Apple now. We are the hope of this world, whether it's economically or for humanity. And I do not write us off. And when they talk about the Chinese and their 100-year plan, we can recreate ourselves so quickly, and we do so often, you cannot write us off.
I agree with that. I agree. Ingenuity and the actual private companies in this country are unbelievable. However, if we look at the United States itself, the corporation...
Oh, you mean government?
Yes.
That's a different question.
Yes. I phrased it incorrectly. I apologize. But
that's okay.
I look at the United States as a corporation itself, because they are running a business, right? We run all the businesses, all the money comes from them, and they have the ability to keep running deficit spending. We end up, you know, getting deeper and deeper in debt, and I don't think they're doing a very good job of running the country. And I'm not talking about any one politician. I look at the whole thing as one big mess that really has become, I think, a little scary to me at this point, the way things are being run and the way things are being handled as far as the Fed, as far as what's going on within Washington, the whole mess. What's your take?
I think now that's what concerns me the most, is that we continue to spend money. And I understand the arguments of government debt different than personal debt. I get it. But what worries me is that we have obligations we have to make. And as we meet those obligations, because we still can borrow money and do those things, you get what's called a crowd out. And when more money goes to service your debt, that's less money to repair a road or to build a bridge or to make sure the electric system is running correctly. That's what concerns me. And you see that playing out in places like Chicago, where you're paying, well, Illinois, I think it's 25 cents of every dollar from your state budget goes to retirees. Not that those deals were not made and you have to meet obligations, but when 25 cents of every dollar is going to someone who no longer is working, that's 25 cents that's not going to a school and not going to a new road. And what economists say is that at 20 cents on the dollar, you get what's called the crowd out and the pushback. And the pushback is we vote you out of office. You've seen it happen in your state legislature, and you might see it happen in your mayoral election.
And that is, of course, what worries me, because, again, I think that if you look at the economic structure, you know, if you're a Keynesian, which is what we're in right now, or you're Austrian, there's neither one is perfect, okay?
Right.
But I do think that we have to at some point quit trying to read out of a book and figure out how to fix the problem, when I think you've made it very clear that it comes to common sense and how to actually run a business. So when
business, but here's where, you know, I consider myself a conservative, but where I differ with some of my fellow conservatives is we have an obligation to the retirees who worked in the public sector to whom we made contracts. We have to meet those obligations, but we can't meet those obligations on the backs of 3- and 4-year-olds. We can't say to children, sorry, we've got to take care of grandma and you can't get an education. So we have got to come up with a way to balance those two absolutes. We have to educate the younger generation and give them the same opportunities we have all had. And we have to care for those who can no longer care for themselves, the elderly, and we have to meet our obligations. What that means is those of us who are still in the middle and working, the sandwich essentially, we may have to take less government service. We may have to streamline current government. That may mean layoffs at the government level. That may mean cutting current government budgets to meet these obligations until we get to a point where we can grow government again. But that's a discussion nobody really wants to have. And that's, you know, but that's the discussion we need to have.
Well, I want to have it because I'm you know what? First of all, you know, I mean, if you look at Social Security, and look, the people that have already paid and been through it, no problem. But don't you think it's time they say, hey, the new retirement age is 75 for everybody who's starting working today at age 20. Mm-hmm. The new retirement should be 75.
I mean, well, maybe you could graduate it. You know, those are, yes. The Social Security, by the way, is an easy fix. Much more difficult fix is your pension problems in Illinois and in Chicago. Oh. Those are today and immediate.
No,
they are. I mean, honestly, I know I'm prone to hyperbole sometimes. I am on TV, for gosh sakes. But you people have huge, huge obligations to the men and women who worked in your public sector. Now, why do we let people who work in the public sector retire at 55? Now, if you're a cop, if you're a police officer, there was a time I would never say the word cop, but everyone uses it now. I was brought up thinking that was a disrespectful word. But if you're a police officer, yeah, I can get it. If there are jobs that certain people that you can't do after 55, but letting people retire at 55 makes no sense in this economy. And then letting people double dip, go back to work and get another. No. These are the kinds of things we have to look at immediately. But, you know, in some places they have changed the retirement age. 401ks, by the way, are not the end all be all answer for the public sector going into a different kind of retirement plan. It's a discussion we can have a whole other time. But what we can't do is continue what we're doing. New Jersey is going down the sewer. You guys are actually, although you are considered the worst when it comes to state pensions, Illinois, you're actually healthier in some respects than New Jersey is, because New Jersey runs out of money in less than 10 years. You don't. But your unfunded obligation is the largest of all. You're larger than New Jersey, too. These are real issues, and they're here today. They're here today, and people should be screaming bloody murder. But everyone, you know, the politicians make promises, and they lie, and they cheat.
They lie, cheat, and steal, and in Illinois, they go to jail. So it works out perfect.
Yeah. You know, I like to joke that Congress, the U.S. Congress, is the best Congress money can buy. You know, I lived in Chicago. I lived in Illinois. It's the best legislature money can buy, right?
100%. That's 100%. And I play golf a lot of those guys too. So, but I got two things for you because I know I don't want to keep you. I want to have you again because I love what you have to say. Okay, so Federal Reserve, central banks. What's your overall opinion of the job they've done? Do you agree with the way they've handled it? Do you disagree, and why?
I do agree with what they've done. You know, my initial response was going to be, remember that scene in the movie, the Mel Brooks film, Blazing Saddles, where he's the governor and he says, I didn't get a harump out of that guy. Harump, 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 harump. That's the Federal Reserve in a lot of ways. Here's why I think what the Federal Reserve and central banks have done actually has been okay. First, the calamity we faced in 2008 was horrific. You had to do whatever you could do to preserve jobs. And by pumping money, and it was 2008 to 2010, 2011 with QE, was the right thing to do. I know that people listening to me going, are you nuts? You're a conservative, and you're saying that's the right thing to do because it has inflationary pressure. What I would say is, where's the inflation? What they now have to do is what they're beginning to do, which is rein it back. And I think that they can deflate their way out, their balance sheet, essentially. They can take care of that. If they do it measuredly. I'm not so optimistic about the central banks overseas that they can do that because they have a whole different framework under which they have to operate. But I think that the U.S. Federal Reserve and the central bank actually steered us pretty well through what would have been the economic calamity and has been for a lot of people of our generation. So I would give them, you know, if I was a teacher, no one ever gets an A++. I would give them a B+ to an A.
That's why I asked your opinion. I give them an F, and I think that they've, I thought initially, you know, I was still,
why do you give them an F? Because, listen, at the end of the day, people have to be able to work and put money on the table. The pressing, remember, the monetary issues are different than the fiscal issues. The fact that wages haven't gone up, that's not the Federal Reserve. That's the U.S. government.
We are with Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News, and he's helping me out with the Fed and telling me why I'm wrong, which is cool. That's the beauty of the Bubba Show. We all are entitled to our opinions, and he is great, and I definitely respect his opinion. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org, and we're going to step out of here for a break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz, will be right back with more from Adam. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. As we start to move into 2015, don't you think it's time you started to take care of your portfolio? Don't you think it's time that you decided that you were going to be the one in control? Don't you think it's time that you take control of your investing life? Well, Bubba's got just the answers for you. You know, if you stay with me on The Bubba Show, you know that I talk often about how to protect your portfolio, what to do. Well, now I'm going to make available to you some great trading tips on how to better improve your portfolio, how to better improve your trading performance. And all you have to do to get those is to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'm going to hook you up. Again, we're going to continue to build the website. We're going to continue to build the business. So all you need to do is email me to bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want some help. I want to be better in 2015. Email me, bubba@thebubbashow.org. Traders, are you tired of all the fear propaganda out there? Just a few years ago, the dollar was no longer going to be the reserve currency. Are you tired of hearing all the crap from everybody who's trying to settle and peddle you fear? Well, listen to me. Bubba here has decided to assemble a staff of the top traders, and these are real traders, in the world, putting together a monthly newsletter for you, the individual trader, talking about what's going on in the markets, what we expect to go on in the markets, and how to help you profit from them. It's strictly going to be news related, telling you things we're seeing and things you should be looking for. Now, this is going to have a cost. It's going to be $99 a year. I've got the top experts in the world, all names that you will recognize that are all real traders. To get involved, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. The cost is $99 a year to get this monthly report every single month. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Bubba Show listeners, you know what a big fan I am of Thinkorswim, the platform built by traders for traders. And you also know that Bubba can help hook you up. All you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is that through the month of January, every Wednesday night, Thinkorswim is going to have a special webinar. Whether you are a beginner or an intermediate, they've got two separate ones that will help you become a better master of the platform that you're using, which ties into what Bubba does here on the show every single day. So every Wednesday night, it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Thinkorswim will offer a one-hour, either beginner or intermediate webinar that will help you become a better trader. If you want to get hooked up, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I will give you all the details of all the different webinars that Thinkorswim is offering. Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with my man, Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News. You can catch him on every segment. He does it all. Very well read, very well versed, and an ex-Chicagoan. So let's get back, and as Adam schools me on the Fed, we're back to Adam Shapiro right now. That's true, but you have to combine them. I think that the way the Fed continued to pump money into the system and the way that it did not trickle down to the middle class. See, I still look at it that the middle class is still in a recession.
Right.
Recession.
Okay. No, right. Okay, so they pumped money into the system. Yes, there were beneficiaries, i.e. The very wealthy who are mostly in stock now because the middle class got out of stock because it got burned. Has benefited tremendously from the run-up in the stock market. Absolutely. But that you can't look at it as there was only one outcome from what they did. There were jobs that were preserved and saved because of what the Federal Reserve did. There were people who were able to refinance debt because of what the Federal Reserve did, and that did help the middle class. But the Federal Reserve's policies aren't going to help wages. What has to happen is perhaps a reworking of our tax code to help the middle class if you want to help wages. There has to be a streamlining of regulation which kills jobs. But that's all at the government level. That's not the Federal Reserve.
No, well, I put them all into one big mishmash. Because I don't like the interest rate policy, and now I thought that they should have raised rates a couple of years ago when we were up at all time record highs and not worry about the market. I think they were too concerned about the market, the day trading of the market, because we saw it time and time again. Ben Bernanke came out, said something negative. The market sold off, and 3 days later, he had him or one of his other guys out there saying, oh, no, no, we're not going to raise rates yet. And that was, to me.
And then remember what happened when he did. When he said, we're going to start, was it 2013? And kaboom, you know. So the big sell-off on the stock market, you saw, you know, the treasuries went up. I mean, you got to be, I understand your concern, mm-hmm. but I would not give the Federal Reserve an F.
Okay, I give him a D.
well, you're passing him now. Remember, what's the joke? What do you call the man or woman who graduates last in their class at medical school? Doctor.
Doctor, see? And again, I'm not, again, you know, I don't like the way things go. And the last thing before I let you go, mm-hmm. do you think that the Fed should raise rates in June?
I think that the Fed had better look very careful. My gut says yes, because I do worry that this could get out of hand. Our economy is growing. So I worry about the inflation that could come if they don't start to rein in, well, raise rates, but also start to bring down their balance sheet at $4 trillion. But I'm not sure they're going to do it because what are the underlying foundation of this economy? They're very concerned about jobs. That 5.5% jobless rate is juiced in part by a participation rate, which is at historic lows, and they don't miss that. They know that. And they may decide that we need to keep this going on. If they, you know, at some point we have to pull back, and there will be a correction on the market, hopefully not a huge and painful one. But we have to, because there will be inflation eventually. But I don't see the panic that, you know, those of us who get very worried about inflation, because it can kill a consumer and can kill an economy. It just isn't here. So I do see them raising interest rates, but they'll make that decision based on what they assess as true job creation. And I'm not so sure. They might say that this is all good, the 5.5% participation rate, and they might, or the 5.5% unemployment rate, and they might say that the participation rate is explainable by baby boomers retiring. But if they believe it is another question. And they talk, that meeting is very private when the FOMC meets. And yes, Janet Yellen, the chair, whether it's Yellen, Bernanke, or any other chair, they have conversations. They can pick up the phone and they can have, they are official meetings on the phone in moments of crisis. And they can deal with those issues. And we never know exactly what they were talking about.
All right, well, this is from one of the smartest guys in the room.
You're kind.
Adam Shapiro, Emmy Award winning from Fox Business News. Adam, I appreciate
you. We used to ride the 151.
151 in Chicago. Adam, I'll see you on air, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by.
Take care, Todd. Bye.
That was Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News. Now, there you go. There's a guy that knows it, understands it, and can explain it to everybody. And I can certainly respect his opinion. And what he has to say, again, I think that he's makes good points and is extremely well-versed on all of the news and all the business things that happen. And I think he said a lot of important things today, and I think it's things that, you know, you as the individual investor, you as a trader, should take heed from. And I think it's important that you listen to the things we talk about, and that is, number one, analysts, they get the right to change their mind, and nobody holds analysts up to a call. You know, somebody may bust them, but hell, Joe Granville made one call in his life, and then he's still living off the royalties of that, okay? Elliott Wave was the hottest thing ever in the 80s, and, you know, people are still trying to short the market from the 80s from things. So, again, be very careful when you're investing. It really should come down to your own diligence. I think Adam stated that very clearly, that you need to do your research as well. And as he said clearly, they're reporting the news. Whether or not they always agree with it, it doesn't matter, but they still have a duty and a job to report. So those are things that are important. And I think he brought a lot to the table, and I can't wait till he comes back again, because, you know, I got to talk to him for an hour about stuff, because, again, I've been on with him a number of times throughout the years. And he does have a great opinion. And again, he usually has the facts to substantiate the opinion. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. So it was great to have him on. And of course, the markets are really very quiet right now. I think that they're really probably waiting to see if they're going to raise rates. And again, I continue to say that they can't. They might, of course. Again, I'm from a different school. I don't like what they've done all along, and I did grade them an F. And you know, I moved it up to a D. It was like when I used to go into my old teachers and beg for a better grade. So he pressured me to give him a better grade. But again, I don't think they did or are doing a very good job. I do truthfully believe that the Fed has lost their way, and I think that we're going to see the unintended consequences of academia and educational working versus actual practical hands-on experience. But again, that's what makes America a great country, is we all are entitled to our own opinion and the opinion that we want to share. And the beauty is that you can share your opinion anywhere. So again, I have a tremendous respect for that, but I don't see a lot going on. Again, you know, it was interesting on Wednesday, you know, volatility climbed a little bit. Even though the markets were kind of hanging, and interesting, more interesting was the way the Russell came charging late and actually had a pretty big move when you look at it. You know, and just so you guys understand the size of the moves, the Russell moved, you know, one contract in the Russell, the future, it moved about $1,500 from bottom to top at the end of the day, and that was a very fast move. So, you know, we're going to see, but right now I really just think that we're going to just kind of hang out here. I think the selling you've seen has been more profit-taking and not a lot of heavy selling. I think that it's really just a market that is kind of waiting. I think it has all the feel that it wants to go lower. And now what it really needs is a reason. And unfortunately, I don't know the reason, and it's not going to send me a telegram and tell me what the reason is, but it'll play out in the tape as it always does. The markets never lie. They only the people that try to predict them get caught up in it. And we'll see at the end of the day how this all plays out. But, you know, it's a very tricky situation here because of the way the money has to flow and where it's going. And as you know, I'm very concerned about people that are in the market right now that don't want to be there or shouldn't be there, but they're trying to get that 5% dividend, but who knows what they're risking in the actual principal amount of their balance to get that 5%. That is the fallacy of a dividend paying stock, is if the stock goes down 25%, what good was the 5% dividend? Okay, so, you know, there's a lot of things out there, but again, right now I'm more on the sidelines, I'm observing, I am still bearish, I have not changed, but I'm not actively shorting the market. And that will do it for today. It was great to have Adam aboard. Adam Shapiro from Fox Business News. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you take time and check out thebubbashow.org. Phenomenal articles up there. We get a lot of stuff early because we are expressing the opinions of our trading experience. And my writers are all minimum 25 years experience in the trading world. So make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. If you have any questions, you can email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. And other than that, that'll do it for today. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time.